John, you mentioned in your piece that the working group's December memo really offered more questions than answers, but it did offer one definitive recommendation. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, Tom. So the one resolution that they did make is that Delaware should not move on the immediate procurement of offshore wind energy from a project already approved by another state. That's the wording from the December 15th document. And what that really refers to is a project that's been recently approved off the coast of Maryland by that state's public service commission. I chatted with the working group's chairman, Bruce Burkhardt, after the report was issued, to ask him why they had ruled out that option, at least for now. And he said, well, it was really too soon. He said that that any decision to join in with the Maryland project would, for one thing, require legislation, and it just there wasn't an immediate prospect of that happening. And he also said that that the working group hadn't come up with any, hadn't reached any conclusive answers on the benefits of joining with that Maryland project.
And beyond that, the group really seemed to, at least in this memo, just kind of frame the key issues that need further examination. What are some of those issues that they intend to kind of keep looking at going forward?
So there were actually more than two dozen questions, additional questions that the memorandum raised. But among them were the idea that they decided to give further consideration to the idea that that they should wait and see until more developers propose projects in the Mid-Atlantic region, they're also interested in the idea that costs for offshore wind are coming down, as they have been quite sharply over the last 10 years or so. And that raises the issue of a kind of a what one observer told me referred to as a deflationary environment. In other words, the players in this are going to defer action in the hope that costs will continue to fall.
And it would appear that what the cost of pursuing wind would mean to electric ratepayers was also one of the bigger issues the working group wants to examine. And I guess this isn't really a big surprise. Your piece points out that ratepayers locally are still paying for the Blue Water Wind project that fell through, and they're also paying for bringing Bloom Energy to Delaware. Is that track record making people a little bit gun-shy?
Well, I think it's fair to say it is. Chairman Burkhardt told me that he was clearly sensitive to the idea that the public really appears to have a limited appetite for any further subsidy of clean energy projects. I also had a conversation with Drew Slater, the Delaware public advocate, who said that that he had raised the issue of costs at several meetings of the working group, and his own position is that even though he's in favor in principle of renewable energy, he's also concerned about the fact that offshore wind in particular is significantly more expensive than other means of generating renewable power.
And your piece also indicates that it's perhaps a bit tougher now to see what the economic benefits of wind would be to the first state overall. When Blue Water Wind's project was being developed, the argument was that Delaware might be able to bring some related businesses with it. Is that no longer the case?
Back in around about 2010, when Delaware appeared to be the on the cutting edge of the development of offshore wind on the Atlantic coast, the hope at that point was that by being first in the queue, as it were, that Delaware could develop. That the economy would benefit from manufacturing facilities that were needed for turbines and other equipment along the coast, and of course that would generate jobs. So I think that that some of the participants in the group are now they're pointing out that this that Delaware might not now be in a position to benefit because a number of other states are much further along in their developments of offshore wind farms. Of course, there's one actually now in operation off the coast of Rhode Island, and several others are in the planning stages.
So as the working group plows ahead, what are some of the arguments proponents are saying are there for getting Delaware into the offshore wind game?
Well, I think underlying the advocates for in favor of offshore wind is that it would help the state cut carbon emissions. Of course, that's a hot issue in the nation's lowest lying state that is especially vulnerable to sea level rise. But it would also a cut in carbon emissions would also help the state meet the requirements of its own renewable portfolio standard, which aims to obtain 25% of its power from renewable sources by 2025, and there's also there will be an increasing commitment to reducing emissions as a result of Delaware's membership of the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative.
And so what are some of the arguments against pushing forward with offshore wind?
Well, I think at this point it comes down to the concerns about costs. You know, some of the members of the group, notably Senator Harris McDowell, points out that that offshore wind is much more expensive than solar or onshore wind. That point is the general point about the high cost was actually acknowledged by Chairman Burkett when I talked to him, and he said that as a result of that there needs to be a full analysis of the benefits not only the economic but also the environmental benefits that would accrue from investing in offshore wind, and that, of course, is one of his arguments for in support of the idea that the group really needed more time in order to do a full evaluation.
And is the working group's inability, John, to deliver recommendations as planned last month in any way an indication that Delaware may have already missed the boat, or is that maybe reading a bit too much into things?
Well, I suspect that's a little bit premature. I mean, all of the folks that I talked to on the committee, not only the chairman, but Jeremy Firestone from the University of Delaware and Brenna Goggin of the Delaware Nature Society, we had a variety of opinions there who all supported the idea that this is a very complex subject that really needs more time to be properly analyzed and evaluated.
And what we're hearing is that there's definitely a very broad mix of opinions on this working group. Could that make it a little bit difficult to reach a consensus?
Well, I think there is an idea out there that this is a large group. I mean, there are 19 members. They include state officials, representatives of the public, of the utilities, lawmakers, environmental nonprofits. Some people are saying that it's really not surprising that the group was unable to come up with any conclusive recommendations in the short time that they had. I mean, remember that the governor only issued his executive order to set up this group at the end of August, and the group didn't actually start meeting until October. Jeremy Firestone at the University of Delaware told me that that if it had been what he called an expert group, then it would have had a better chance of reaching some definitive conclusion. But the fact that you had really quite a wide range of opinions and points of view represented there, then in his view, it wasn't surprising.
So, having said all that, what's next? Is there a sense of what the timetable is for this group going forward?
Well, the group is formally set up until June 30th. The chairman says he expects to issue a report to the governor sometime by the spring, and he pointed out that there will be more opportunity for the public to be involved in this during that time.